So today we're going to talk about the possibilities of portability. Portability is one of the single best gifts that the IRS and through its work with the passing of this act, the legislature has given us, where people have failed to otherwise use gift tax exemptions, now have the opportunity to pick up their deceased spouse's exemption. One would think there may be no need for planning and going forward to preserve your deceased spouse's exemption now that it's automatically ported. That is possibly even more dangerous than having no portability at all, because there are critical steps that have to be taken. There are times when you do want to use portability. There are times when you don't. Those of you who are typically on these calls, our clients, have all captured in their current trust strategies to use their death exemptions. The question now is that, and does that continue to remain proper? So, quick preamble, the Jobs Creation Act of 2010 was the commencement of this piece, but it was not made permanent until 2012. In January of 2011, we created the deceased spouse unused federal estate tax exemption, otherwise known as DSUE. Portability has the potential, of course, to correct some of these issues, and the DSUE is where it would be applied. So first issue, time is of the essence. We need to take Uncle Sam up on his offer. The decedent's estate must make the election for portability on a timely filed tax return. It is one thing if you haven't done your planning. It's another thing if you think you can't file a tax return on a timely basis. Even here, there is a fuse that is lit at the time that a spouse passes away. The IRS may grant a reasonable extension of time to make an election if the taxpayer provides evidence that they acted in good faith. The time limit on when the IRS can review the first deceased spouse's estate tax return is still 9 months, and then you can go out to 15. The executor, with its counsel, must include a computation of what the DSUE amount is, which amount will be portable. So currently it's $5.43 million, right? If one passes away, but if your spouse made $1 million worth of gifts before they passed away, the DSUE amount will be less. But by checking off the box when we're filing the return, we're letting the IRS know that we intend to port it or transfer it over. These are the words and the nomenclature of portability. The executor is in charge. Who is the one that elects the portability? It is the executor. If there is no appointed executor for the purpose of this, is any person who has actual constructive possession of the property, a non-appointed executor. Multiple appointed executors are all required to sign the tax return in order for the return to be valid. There is no exception to be made on this issue of portability. So who makes the cut? Who is entitled to the portability? DSUE can only be used only by a citizen or a permanent resident surviving spouse. It cannot be used by a non-resident alien during his or her lifetime or after death. So portability is not available if the decedent was not a U.S. citizen or a resident unless otherwise provided by treaty. If the decedent dies and leaves property to a non-citizen but resident spouse in a qualified domestic trust, and many of you who are married and you are a non-citizen but you're married to a U.S. citizen spouse, you know that we put plans together where we set up qualified domestic trust for you. And inside that trust, the purpose was to avoid there being taxation of the assets on your spouse's debt to you because of your non-citizen status. In addition to setting up the qualified domestic trust to avoid this tax to you, We also have your deceased spouse's exemption amount, which is this DSUE. So it is important to realize that not only do we set up the trust, but we want to capture this exemption so that on your passing, you can use the exemption amount to be added to the total size of your estate. We're doing that anyway under your planning. But just be mindful that there may be some value here, and we'll talk about that in a second, as to why there may be additional benefits. A non-citizen spouse, surviving spouse, is not able to use any of the DSUE amount from the deceased spouse's estate to make lifetime gifts. So this is an important piece, and we'll move forward into part four in a minute, but if I pass away and my wife Rosemary inherits my assets, she then has not only her death exemption, but mine. She can also use my exemption to make gifts during her lifetime through my exemption, an important piece. However, if my wife were a non-citizen spouse and we set up a QDOT, the DSUE piece, the exemption amount, cannot be used to make gifts to our children from my exemption, because the IRS is not sure that she will actually go through her entire life and not ruin the qualified domestic trust, which would then create a tax, and the DSUE amount would have to be used. So for non-citizens, it is not as easy to make gifts from your predeceased spouse's estate using the DSUE amount. There may be reasons why you'll want to. You don't blow the trust, but you are subject to tax. Okay? Same-sex surviving spouses who do not file for portability for death after December 31st, 2010 and before January 1, 2014 may file Form 706 and elect for portability retroactively, which is incredibly exciting. And given the law now, we're excited to be able to employ it. But the executor must file the return, okay? So, number four, the ins and outs of portability. DSUE can be used during one spouse's lifetime and reported on file 709 of the gift tax return, or it can be used at death and reported on form 706 of the return. Only the last deceased spouse's used exemption is portable. So if I pass away and I leave my assets to my wife, and my wife then remarries, and then that spouse passes away, but that spouse had used a lot of his exemption, then Rosemary does not have the benefit of my original exemption. She gets the exemption of the last surviving spouse, spouse that she had before she passed away. So it is important, okay, to consider that if your estate is significant, so if I pass away first and I leave my assets to Rosemary, what will happen then is if Rosemary is about to remarry, our firm here will say to her, Mrs. McManus, it may make good sense right now to use all of John's exemption and make gifts and trust to the kids now. If Rosemary does that and uses my exemption, great news, she can then, upon remarriage, capture the exemption of her new spouse, which would then be additive to what she used for me, she's using my exemption, and what she has on her own. It is a very, very neat and efficient way to maximize everybody's exemptions, but what it means is that Rosemary has to make gifts as a surviving spouse during her lifetime after I've passed away. And that would mean that her estate was significant enough that she was willing to give assets away and not worry that she needs them for the rest of her life. So the estate has to be substantial. A very important piece here is that portability does not apply to the generation skipping tax exemption. Okay, so what we do need to do is be mindful that if I or any of our let's use me again, I pass away and we leave my assets in trust to Rosemary, We may not use my credit shelter amount, okay, my $5 million exemption, and fund that trust. But what we do want to do is have all assets pass to Rosemary in trust during her lifetime. At that point, she'll check off the box that this is a Q-tip trust, which she is enjoying the benefit during her lifetime. At that time, we also want to check off the box that this is a generation-skipping tax trust. So these assets will not just pass to Rose, but they will go tax-free down to our children and then beyond. This is essential so that using portability can have profound effects, but what is critical here is there are other exemptions, and the generation-skipping tax exemption, it is essential. Do not miss up on the opportunity to deploy that. Okay, next issue. I decide not to fund my credit shelter trust. Okay, so in this instance, I create just a marital trust. I leave my assets to my wife in that trust. I'm not using my exemption when I pass away, but Rosemary is taking my portable exemption, so my 5.43 portable. In that instance, that exemption remains flat. It does not move up an index to inflation. If I leave my assets in trust to Rosemary and we use my credit shelter exemption and that grows to double, all that will pass free down to the kids. If Rosemary does not use that and uses the portability exemption, she only can go back to the original amount, 5.43, at the date of my death. There will be greater taxes in that set of circumstances, greater taxes. There are other circumstances, greater estate taxes in that instance. There are other circumstances where it does not make sense to follow that rule, and we'll get to that in a minute. When Rose, again, number five, lifetime gifting, when Rose outlives me, when we leave the assets to her, we want her, she can gift those assets into grantor trust for descendants. She has to be concerned, though, that there are certain states, if she moves to Connecticut or Minnesota, they have state gift taxes. So New York, Connecticut, New York and New Jersey in the tri-state area do not have a gift tax. You can give as much as you want to your children. It does impact your death exemption in a formula, but not in a direct tax the way that Connecticut and Minnesota do. So Rosemary has to be respectful of the fact that it is valuable to make gifts and make them into trust to the children with my exemption amount, but she has to be mindful of the fact that that if she's in a state subject to a state exemption, she could be in trouble, subject to a state gift tax. The surviving spouse would need to give up control of the assets, okay, but could still borrow from them. This is a point that we were talking about before. Rosemary may not be inclined to make gifts before she gets married because she may need the assets. But if they're given into a proper trust, which we're doing every day here at the firm, she can borrow back the assets if she needs them. So gifting is an important piece after the first spouse passes away in using your DSUE exemption amount from your predeceased spouse. Number six, continue to place trust in trust. So portability is a valuable estate planning tool, but it does not negate the need for the trust. This is what we spoke about before here. So state tax exemptions are not portable, okay? We continue to fund credit shelter trusts with state estate tax amounts up to $675 in New Jersey, $3.125 in New York, but that number is going up, and $2 million in Connecticut. Within the credit shelter trust, the estate tax exemption is captured, okay, for the first deceased spouse's estate so that both spouses fully utilize the state exemption amount, lowering estate tax on their combined estates. When you put assets into a tax planning trust, when it grows, the entire amount will pass free of tax to the remainder beneficiaries. Amounts above the state exemption would go into a second trust. That's the marital trust. That trust will be taxable on the surviving spouse's death. But if we have not used our DSUE or the amount that's remaining, then we can use that exemption at the time of the second spouse's death. and that is the opportunity of choice. If we choose not to do that and actually use the federal exemption immediately and make it a tax planning trust, then we have a different set of facts. The assets will not get a step up in basis on the second spouse's death. Step up in basis could be material if the assets grew significantly from the first spouse's death to the second. This is about as complex work that we'll talk about on any of these educational calls, but it is very, very important to know that today, more than ever, with these new opportunities with the DSUE, it is critical both to know your planning while you're alive and then take an immediate snapshot as surviving spouses and children and say, what should we be doing about our predeceased loved one's exemption under the DSUE? So for us as a firm, and it's why Elizabeth, who helped put this together and runs our estate administration practice group, she is very, very focused on knowing these pieces, as we all are, because whatever great planning we put together while you're alive, we may be altering the ship ever so slightly, but could have a profound impact down the road for your children and grandchildren. Number seven, look before you leap. So planning considerations have shifted with the change in rates, right? So the traditional strategy of funding a family trust or a marital trust for surviving spouses now demands a more in-depth analysis, okay? Capital gains rates is the reason why, right? Today in the New York metropolitan area, Connecticut is the lowest of the brackets, but if you're in New York City or you're in New Jersey with the Obama surtax, Medicaid surtax, Medicare surtax, you're up well over 30%. That is a different state of facts than it was even as recent as just a few years ago. So if you are the surviving spouse and you're investing in assets, a second home, and so forth, and that grows by $1 million during your lifetime as a surviving spouse, if you use the credit shelter trust when you pass away, that house will not get a reset in basis. When your children sell it, they will pay 30%+ tax on that $1 million gain. If your children keep that asset in the estate and they don't use the tax planning trust and use the DSUE exemption, the portability, and carry that over for the second spouse's death, then we get the step up in basis and we get the portability exemption. So we avoid the tax on the estate tax level and we avoid the tax on the gains tax. That is very, very clever, but you have to look at where your total assets are going and whether or not the gain is going to be too significant that the estate tax, once you're over $5 million, 5.43, which will then be 50%, is worse than the 30% gains tax if you sell the property. So it's a balance issue here, okay? So we'll always continue to monitor assets inside the estate of the surviving spouse and figure out which ones potentially are going to have a big gains tax issue. It is critical as a surviving widow or widower that we continue to monitor those assets during your lifetime. The DSUE will ensure that there is no federal tax, but if your exemption, if your estate grows over the 5.43, or when you combine them 10.86, that is when the 50% tax gets hit. Under all circumstances, though, we always want to check off the box and make sure that on the first spouse's death, we're utilizing generation-skipping tax exemptions, so that all these assets, under whichever strategy we have, can go down to the children and then beyond the children, because all of the trusts we prepared for you are all lifetime trusts. And so they're going not just to you, but they're going down to your children and grandchildren, and that is when generation-skipping tax hits, unless we have used your exemption. Okay, number eight, all things considered. So how and when to use portability should be evaluated on a case-by-case basis. So the surviving spouse who has the DSUE amount should take into account when negotiating a premarital agreement with a new spouse as to whether or not there will be the surviving spouse will be using the DSUE amount. okay, or have a new spouse create a lifetime credit shelter trust with comparable amounts. So this is important because when there are two people entering into a marriage and there's a prenuptial agreement, often the one with no assets is deemed to have no power or no control. The answer is that they have a $5 million federal exemption, which is saving the wealthy spouses $2.5 million of estate tax. That should be an issue that is critical to be addressed in the prenuptial agreement. The second piece is that we want, if you are entering into a new marriage and your spouse has all the assets and your spouse has an executor that they want to use, we want to know that you are getting the maximum benefit of your predeceased spouse's exemption, and that your executor is, when making tax elections, is benefiting you as the new spouse in this scenario. So every prenuptial agreement should include proper estate planning and addressing this very, very critical exemption amount that would otherwise not be addressed and potentially could be lost. We're on to number nine. States have yet to follow the footsteps of Uncle Sam. Currently, there is no portability of exemption for state exemption amounts in the Northeast. There is some talk that there are states that are contemplating portability. Okay, it is necessary, though, for us to check as time goes on. We had some rumors that there was one state in the nation that may be utilizing portability. We have yet to establish that that is true, but right now what we're telling all of you is that if you pass away and there is a state estate tax, you must create the trust and fund it with the exemption amount of your state amount, so 675 New Jersey, just for easy math, and get that into trust so that your surviving spouse can preserve it and have both of yours on the death of the second spouse. Clients of ours in Florida and California, where there is no estate tax, then the issue is there's no need to be worrying about the portability of exemption. Okay? And sadly, if they impose a tax later on down the road, you're not able to use your deceased spouses because there just wasn't one at that time. Okay, New York has been explicit, though, that its move to equalize state exemption with federal exemption does not include portability. All right, should it stay or should it go? All right, it's important to recognize that and we're on to number 10, that portability may not last forever. So portability could disappear if the tax laws changes. However, it attracted strong bipartisan support in Congress. If portability is eventually repealed or modified, those who rely on it as an estate planning device could pay millions in unnecessary taxes if they have not already made the election. Make the election. Based on the use of portability and trust for the surviving spouse may provide the best protection against estate tax moving forward. Simple rule that we will focus on. And I'll get that in 1 second. There must be a keen analysis performed after death, okay, and if possible, pre-mortem analysis performed to assure that investment positions are still properly held. Two key pieces. You'll never know when the good Lord's going to take us away, but we should stay current and review assets each year and see what assets are getting large gains so that if you pass away, we can avoid the tax by resetting the basis. And to look at what assets you have in your estate, what you put in the trust, what we may want to move around. Important to be doing that every year. Number two is if you do pass away, or your family needs to be focused very, very much on what piece or if all of the portability exemption we're going to use. And the key piece here is, will your surviving spouse have a likelihood that after he or she passes away, the entire estate would be in excess of today's dollars, $10.86 million. If we know your exemption is going to be over $10.86 million, we begin to say there is no value in using portability because we're now chasing a larger dragon, and that one is the federal tax. And the federal tax and the state tax combined in the metropolitan area here is going to be 50%. In Florida and California, the rates are more like 40%. And each state around the nation that we're representing people is a different amount. But the essential piece here is, will we anticipate the estate will go over 10.86? The keenest analysis takes place when you're at 8, 9, or 10 million and you're in your 80s, and we don't know if you're going to pass that, and what kind of estate tax will we be paying, and what kind of assets do we have that we're going to be paying income tax on. This portability exemption was supposed to help the estate attorneys and the clients who had failed to do any real planning so that the surviving spouse can take advantage of the predeceased spouse's exemption. It was to be simple. But as we've all dug in here, we're saying, yes, it solves a very simple situation, but there are tremendous opportunities to really deploy this exemption for people in a more sophisticated way.